so everybody, welcome to Game Chat. I'm really glad you guys are all here because this is awesome. I was expecting, honestly, a smaller turnout. This is great. So, Stefan has worked really hard as well to get this off the ground. She's arguably done more work than I have getting this thing going. So, kudos to her. So, before we start going around, I just want to, we have a disclaimer, and we're going to read this at every meeting, regardless. And if it's the same, like 10 people, we won't do it every time. But if you bring in guests or whatever, we just want people to know that Game Chat's a safe environment, welcomes people from all walks of life. It's not a place to debate your opinions and make your point heard. If you cannot be respectful, please reconsider participating. Anybody here going to try and force their opinions down anybody else's throat?
That's no.
A resounding no. Okay.
Not great. Today.
All right. Fair
God,
enough.
God. Oh, sorry,
right.
Guys.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. I don't want to dwell on that. It's just something we do for anybody who's not aware of our sort of mission statement. So, anyways, we just kind of want to go around quickly. Name, where you're from, favorite game. I'll start. My name is Chris. I live in Massachusetts. And my favorite game ever of all time is The Last of Us. And if anybody says anything else, well, then you're just wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll just go down the line. We'll start with Chris number one.
My name is Chris. I'm also from Massachusetts. And my favorite game is Grim Fandango.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm also Chris. I'm from Maine. And, man, picking one's hard, but I'll go with the original Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
New England represent.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Keep going.
My name is Brianna. Do you want where I'm from? Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
Washington. Or Arizona. I'm in Arizona. Okay. My favorite game, well, my whole gaming career, I guess you would say, would have to be Final Fantasy.
Good choice.
The series.
Oh,
wow. I don't know if I can follow Brianna with that one. My name's Michelle. I'm originally from Montana, but I now live in Idaho. And, gosh, favorite game ever? You know, I'll have to go with Metal Gear Solid. Yeah.
Ooh. PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Like just as a series?
As a series. I mean, the first one's my favorite, but yeah. Any of the Metal Gear games is pretty awesome.
All right, Monzo. All right.
My name's Joe Monzo. I wear many, 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 many hats. and I like playing tactical RPGs. So Final Fantasy Tactics or Civilization V, anywhere in those, I really, really, really enjoy. And it's so boring for other people to watch. But yeah, that's my favorite type of game.
Where are you from?
Oh, dirty, dirty Jersey.
Dirty Jersey. Wow. The armpit of America.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you are part of the body. That's all that matters.
Wow.
Follow that one, Steph.
Somebody's going to stick it up.
My name is Steph. Hey, guys. I'm from Charleston, West Virginia, where I currently live, too. And I would say that my favorite game franchise would be Tomb Raider.
All right. Very cool. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for humoring me with that. This is good to get to know each other.
Yeah.
We just kind of want to open up real quick with just a general forum of like, hey, let's just to quickly talk about what we all thought of the game. And you don't have to, we're going to get into more details in a few minutes, but mainly like, you know, as gamers, how was the game? Was it a good game? The mechanics working well so far? How you guys liking, you know, the graphics and how the design is, the stuff like that. So feel free. Share away. What'd you guys think?
You shouldn't be playing this game for the graphics.
Yeah, they're not the best, I suppose.
Especially when you have to turn them down to run on your computer. Yeah.
Oh, sad.
I told you I don't have a gaming computer.
No, her laptop pretty much smokes when she tries to play games.
It's not my laptop, it's my desktop, but I didn't buy it as a game. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. The gaming desktop is smoking.
Anyways.
Hey, I feel you, because this time last year I was still dealing with the broken laptop that was barely running League of Legends. Yeah. So, yeah.
So the game, guys. What do we think?
I'm familiar with the episodic style, but I'm a little spoiled because I'm used to the Telltale games, like Wolf Among Us and Walking Dead. And so, as an episodic game, the style's different for me because there was really very little action in the story. Where compared to other games of that style, there's a lot more, you know, hit X to move left or punch that guy in the face. Right. And this one's like, maybe dodge a rock, maybe not. So it was a lot more like conversation based and you know, the non-action gamer in me, you know, I dug that about this game compared to others. This is a little different, but I really appreciate that the game company is not afraid to put in some more mature themes. The language and the subject matter was a lot more, I can't say sophisticated, but it felt like, you know, other games are not really willing to go in that direction. So I really appreciated the subject matter. Yeah.
Yeah, I also, especially towards the end, I was just, like, so blown away by how mature the subject matter was they were willing to go with and how well done it was also. Like, they, you know, taking something serious and treating it well. And sort of to go back to what you were saying about, like, there wasn't a lot of action, I actually really got into that because I was like, oh, it's so narrative-focused. For me, that was, like, something I really enjoyed about it.
It kind of felt to me like Square Enix was like, hey, we need to make something for the teenage girl demographic. And that's what they did.
Are you saying they made a dating sim?
Are dating sims for teenage girls?
Well, not that I've seen.
I totally date one.
I did like it. It didn't blow me away. I do like the Telltale stuff kind of better. But I don't know. I do have the respect for where they went with some of the subject matter because it is what not only girls go through, it is what younger people go through when they're going to college, especially in a new setting. Yeah. I think they could have done a little lighter on the language, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was a little over the top, I think, at certain points, but. Depends on, I mean, I guess it depends on what part.
Yeah. As, you know, because I'm sure that there are people that use heavy language. You know, there are people that use heavy language like that.
I'm raising my hand. I can't see you, but I'm being very, very careful, Stephanie. You know that. Gosh. It got really dark, you know, and I really like the... I don't know where they're going with Max's powers. You know, I like that they don't really... explain that at all, and she's trying really hard to not sound crazy as she's explaining it to her friend, but it really makes me wonder, you know, how far they're going to go into the series and how kind of supernatural it's going to get. It's kind of cool.
It's funny, I was on the fence of this game, and then Bowden got it and was talking about it, and it sounded interesting to me, and then I started playing and got hooked. You know, I have. It feels like, you know, I'm no longer in that 15 to 18 age group anymore. But it feels like it would. They were trying to go for the relatable teenager within that age, and to me, it kind of felt natural. The way that they were acting, and you know, the language that they were using, and you know, you have. What's her name? Rebelling and everything. So,
yeah. I thought it was more like real life than any other game that I've played, anyway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the first of that type of game that I've played. So, it's definitely normally with games I get kind of. Bored after a while, but this one, like, I just sucked me right in, and I played right through. So,
Yeah, I think it's probably going to get better, too. I mean, this is the first... I mean, for me, it was a little bit slow. I'm not going to lie. I mean, definitely it has moments for me. And I think I was talking to Steph earlier this week about, like, how there's so many things you can look at in this game. And I just don't care. Like, I don't care what that poster says. I mean, I'll read one poster, and that's plenty for me. I want to just get on with the story.
And in contrast, I looked at everything.
Right, so I mean, gotten through in like an hour and a half, 2 hours or something, and then other people can go, you know, 3 hours, probably, easily.
Yeah, yep. Mine was three like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was about 2.5.
Yeah.
Mine was about 3.5 hours, because I looked through everything.
Yeah, literally everything.
I kept on looking at that same girl, like, 20 different times to see what else she would say.
Yeah, because it was different stuff. The only time I didn't do that is when I was in what's her face, was it Victoria, who's the really mean one?
Victoria.
Yeah, when I was in her room, I was like, all right, I gotta get the paper, get out, let's go.
Get out of here, get out.
Yeah. We played it over a few days, specifically because I felt it was a little slow. Again, you can't really come from A Wolf Among Us to Life is Strange, and so it took us probably 3 days to play it, and I had to make a point where I said, listen, if, you know, we played it together, trading the controller, and I said, if you look at everything in that room, we're done. Like, you just, you know, I'll give you half, and then you gotta go, because otherwise I would have been there 4 hours later, just going at every single thing. But I did appreciate, I feel like they tried to make it a game that could contend with others in that style, but I think they just took it a little too far. I think there was just a few things about it that was just unnecessary, as far as you can look at every single thing in the room.
Yeah,
but you know, you can compromise. You can be like, okay, I'm only going to look at half, and that doesn't take away from your experience.
Right.
Or you can look at everything, and that's okay too. So.
And have an overload of information.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, look at these pamphlets. This is great. It's like the 20th pamphlet I found.
Well, it is interesting too how much you kind of miss on a first playthrough, because I ended up playing the episode twice.
Oh wow!
Just primarily so that
overachiever.
Primarily so I could get all the pictures, but also there were a few decisions I made that I wasn't really too happy with. So I kind of went back and kind of changed the way I played as well.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, so let's start into the questions area. The first one I want to start with is that Max occasionally seems to question her responses, not knowing that she can rewind time, or just questioning whether she should do it or not. Do you think this would be a reoccurring complex for a person who has the gift of rewinding time? And if so, do you think it'd become an obsession or an idol that, you know, you would constantly want to rewind time to, like, redo something?
Kind of like Chris won.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
In a question way. Every decision he's ever made.
Well, I mean, the worst part about the game, too, is that much like the Telltale games and, you know, Walking Dead, at the very end of each chapter, you know, you have the this percentage of people did this action and this percentage of people did that. So it's kind of like, you know, you do start to second guess yourself. And it's like, did I do the right thing, or do I need to go back and redo it? So...
I think that's good. I think they've achieved what they were going for then.
If
that's the case.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You know, I think if it was something that you had access to, I think it would be safe to say I would abuse it, definitely. I like that Max is, you know, anytime there is a decision, I mean, she has that opportunity to change the outcome. And yeah, I think it's, I personally would, yeah.
I think I would too, for sure. I mean, I think we can easily say, yeah. I mean, we'd all want to rewind something. In the moment, would you rewind it? Then, of course, like, let's say 3 days later you say, oh, I should have done that differently. Were you going to rewind the last 3 days? Probably not.
I don't know. I don't know. Some decisions, man.
I know.
We hit the wrong bumper.
I know. Because clearly Max, and at least now, can only rewind. We're only able to rewind within a few minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are understandable. Of course, if you knew you had this gift, you would be more aware of it and you would be rewinding, you know, at the moment. But I think it definitely could become an obsession. I think it could become far, like, really out of control if you weren't, you know.
I'm sure. I'm sure if I could do it, I would just become completely obsessed with, because you would, I think it would make you question things that you wouldn't even think that.
Exactly.
You shouldn't even be questioning, you know, like saying yes to, I don't know, doing something with someone. You're like, you know, sure, I'll go out to, I don't know, maybe I think I'll rewind and just say no, I got stuff to do, you know?
Exactly.
Well, and like, I would do like crazy things. Like if I was mad at somebody, I would like flip out, like throw tables, whatever, and then just rewind, just back it right up.
That's perfect. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But we should work with work people.
I could
imagine, like, being at work and being like, oh, my 15-minute break's over. Hold on a sec. And just have infinite break time.
Break time.
That's a great idea, Monzo.
You just never get paid.
3 days later.
Okay.
I know, right?
Or that's just walk out and quit every day and just rewind it.
Just to get out of your system.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that being said, why would you suppose that the concept of rewinding to change our past is such a compelling idea?
No responsibility or repercussions.
Right.
That's a good point.
No chance of failure?
Another good point.
Choices are hard, so the opportunity to see how a choice turns out and then choose the other choice is, like, amazing.
I want that on a t-shirt. Choices are hard.
Get on that, Clark. Next meeting.
It should be multiple choice, though. Like, choices are hard. A, B, C.
One, five.
I noticed that, like, usually in video games, I'm pretty brazen with the choices I make, but now that I can remake the choices, like, all bets are off. I'm just like, alright, yeah, punch a guy, whatever.
That's a good point.
At least with, like, the Telltale games in that series, your choices you do not can go back on.
Right.
And they have you timed, which is kind of forces you into doing something on those other styles. Right. We got to a point where Mitch and I, you know, we were playing, so we'd take turns picking the outcome. But we got to a point where it would come up, and there'd be two choices, and we'd look at each other. Like, which one do you want to do? I'm like, I don't know. You have the controller. You do it. You know, but it got to a point where we couldn't make a definitive decision. It was like, you really had to think about it. Even though you could go back, you know, we didn't want to risk making the wrong one. We changed often.
That was one of the things I liked about this game, too, is that for the most part, it kind of gave you time to really weigh your options on mm-hmm. what you wanted to select. Whereas, you know, other games, you have 30 seconds to make your choice, otherwise it makes it for you. And it feels like there's more weight to the choice, too, because you have all this time. And then mm-hmm. you start second-guessing yourself and everything, so, you know.
There was one scene specifically when Max goes back to the dormitory and this gal had taken the jump drive that belonged to Warren. I can't remember her name. It was Kate or...
Dana.
Okay. And when you go into Dana's room after you've resolved the issue, you know, there's a pregnancy test, like, sitting in the garbage can. And I had never felt so awful for witnessing this. I wasn't playing. Mason grabs the controller. He goes and he walks over and he picks up the pregnancy test. And I'm like, what are you doing? Wait, you wouldn't do that in real life? Hands off, you know? And then the character just freaks out. She's like, wait, no, you're just here to start trouble, you know? Get out of here. And I felt very genuine and I felt really awful. And I told him, you know, you rewind that right now. That's not what we're doing.
I did the same thing. Of course, the one thing I pick up, right, is the pregnancy test.
Yeah. I did not even touch it. I was like, no, I am not. Someone's peed on that? I'm not having Max touch that thing. Thank you.
Well, I did rewind. If it makes you all feel better. I was like, all right, I'm sorry. She clearly did not like that.
Yeah. No, she was not happy.
So let's say you pick up pregnancy test and you have, like, pee remnants on your hand. Do those go back in time with you, or?
I mean, your inventory stays with you, so I'm assuming yes.
Ooh.
So if you wash your hands and then you rewind, your hands will still be washed. Is that what you're saying?
That's my understanding, because you can pick up something and then go back in time and still have that thing in your hand.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we established that. If nothing else tonight. Steph, how about
you? So I'll go to the next question. Does the game allow you, do you guys, did you connect with Max as a character? Could you identify with her? And how do you think the game's designers tackled her as a character as well? Or with any of the characters, like, you know, their character development. How do you think the game developers did with character development in the game? In the first chapter.
All those nerds.
I feel like the men should go first for this question. I think it's going to be harder for them.
It's funny that you say that, because part of the question I was going to say, like, because when I was talking to Steph about this, like, one of the things I found it was hard to relate to a little bit is the main girl, teenage girl, protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
Not because, like, I just think that she's the way that, and again, Steph, you got to back me up on this.
I'm backing up.
But, like, you know, the way she thinks is a little bit differently than the way I would think about a decision.
Right.
As you can see, I picked up the pregnancy test. Probably would not have done that if she wasn't being controlled by a 31-year-old man. Right. So, I guess it is hard because, like, again, when she meets Warren and he's kind of, like, hitting on her, I'm kind of like, no way, dude, get out of my way. Nobody got time for that.
That's so not fair to Max.
So I'm playing as a man, right? But I'm controlling a female character, so it does definitely affect how the game plays. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you guys?
Do you mean guys as in the males?
No, everybody. Sorry.
Okay.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I don't think that I ever have a problem with, you know, I mean, I think it's because the game is so personal. You know, it kind of puts you in these personal positions that it, you know, but if you would play, like, say you're playing Tomb Raider and you're playing Lara Croft, you wouldn't feel that way. But because the game puts you in such personal situations.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. Gosh. You know, obviously I was once a teenage woman. And they did feel all very relatable, you know. But I really liked Warren, and I liked the teacher, the photographer teacher. You know, and all the characters felt really good. And you know, definitely I played it different because I felt closer to Max. Even as that, you know, shy, kind of distant nerdy girl with the camera in her hand, you know, who doesn't want to talk to anybody and gets misinterpreted often because just of how she is.
Exactly.
You know, and I could see I just find it funny that it's the men that go pick up the pregnancy test and the women stay away. It's just like, you don't do that. But they put that there knowing that, you know, somebody's going to want to pick it up. It's there was just, like Steph said, there was a lot of personal things about it that kind of brought us in closer to the character than other games. So it's kind of like, a difference between a story written in third person and a story written in first person. I think you're much closer to Max than the other characters. I'll be done.
No, that's a good thought. Anybody else? Anything to say about that one?
I know that some of the girl stuff wasn't too relatable. Like the drama, I've never really been a drama-filled person. I've generally stayed away from it. So, like, going through that, I guess, was a little eye-opening. But still, I couldn't, like, relate. Although the one decision I did regret in the end was turning down the whatever, that Spanish kid that wanted to draw me or something.
Aw, you turned him down?
I turned him down at first, because I was like, yeah, I'm not one of your French girls. You're not sketching me. Sorry. Then he looked so sad, and I was like, all right, whatever.
I'm missing out on this. I gotta start talking to everybody on campus now.
Yeah, see? So you missed the poor kid drawing you.
Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of other stuff.
I definitely would have told him no. There's no doubt about that.
I was wondering if I could draw you sometime. No.
You want to go back to my dorm room, like right now?
Okay, Mondo, you have to speak in that accent for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah.
Si, senor.
I thought the text message system was super authentic feeling.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I don't know if Warren gets a black eye in all the playthroughs, but, you know, he's like, hey, you're knight in shining armor here. I know you're thinking about me, and, you know, the black eye. And, yeah. There was just a lot of really, really smart details that they include that I liked.
That was good.
Now, doing the text thing without having any background at Warren, I was like, weird guy's hitting on me. I don't know him. But, like...
Yeah, totally.
In game, like, you do know him, and I guess that would allow for that back and forth. But, I don't know, he seemed really clingy to me at first.
Because at first, you have no response with him. Like, you just have a bunch of messages of him going, don't ignore me, and it's like, who's this stalker?
Warren. Oh,
well,
my God.
We know his intentions, you know? We're guys, trust me.
Yeah, Warren. Totally.
He wants to take you to go see a movie.
I know, right? Gosh, at least buy you cafeteria dinner first.
Wow.
Yeah, that escalated quickly, right? Well, we should move on, then. That's a good time to move on. Let's see. So, let's get specific. Everybody saw the part where it's Victoria at sitting at the dorms and you have to dump the paint on her, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what... I'm curious, just we'll jump quickly, specifically, to whether or not you took a picture of her covered in paint and whether... how you justified doing that in your own mind. I will say I definitely took a picture of her. 100%.
I did not. I was very nice to that girl. Even though she was mean to me.
Yeah, I did not take a picture. I did tell her that I was sorry it happened, and for a brief moment, her little devil horns faded away, and she was happy.
Right.
No, didn't take a picture, though. That seemed a little dark-hearted for Max.
Interesting for Max, yeah.
I took her picture and then rewound it. Like, this is what I was saying earlier. I did the angry thing so I could get it out, and then I went back and I said, okay, I'm sorry, you're
That's
nice.
Probably.
Yeah, I did the same thing, and then I felt bad after taking the picture, so I rewound it.
I didn't know there was an option to take a picture, because they were just like, oh, be mean or be nice. And I was like, oh, be nice, whatever. So I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, if be mean was take a picture, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they weren't specific, right?
Well, if you can rewind time now, huh, Monzo?
Maybe. Maybe I'll just have to play through it again.
Just as long as you can keep that picture, like, in your dorm room so you can look at it every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was a bit too cruel, you know, to go for it. So, and I kind of played it to where I didn't rewind really that much. I kind of stuck with the decisions that I made. I didn't try different ones. So, yeah.
I think it's interesting, though, because, I mean, I can't help but think we're still playing a video game. And there's no way in real life that, knowing me, I would ever do that to someone, because it's so humiliating.
Right.
And it's so vengeful, right? So, I wouldn't do it. But it's a game, and I hated her. I did it. But I think that it's interesting how, you know, I think it was Michelle who said that didn't seem like something that Max would do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. I like how you said that. I don't even know if you realize you said it. Because it was like, you know, you're relating to her, whereas I'm playing as like an outside party almost.
Mm-hmm. I could yeah, copy fix with a pregnancy test.
But you gotta know that the writer.
Max did do the whole paint thing to her, and then, you know, if you're not gonna take a picture of it and you're gonna tell her, you know, you're gonna be nice to her, I think that's kind of hypocritical. But I did it.
Yes, yeah.
Now looking back on it, I'm like, she's the one who got the paint on her, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it did feel kind of awful afterwards. You're like, wait a minute, I just did that, and now I'm like, I am so sorry that paint fell on you. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but she didn't tell her, like, that she did it.
I wouldn't.
I know, me either.
They're just going to punch
from
you.
From a gameplay perspective, I was really confused during that whole part. I was, like, walking around, trying to find where the sprinkler is, and then I was waiting for, like, the creepy dude to get up on the ladder and put it up there first, and then it was wrong, so I had to rewind, and it was weird.
Creepy Darren?
Yeah, Steven? Yeah, that was hard for me.
Samson?
Samson?
Samuel?
Samuel, the janitor. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's safe to say every school has one of those.
Mm-hmm. Oh no! I walked in the open door
windows so I can look in them.
Sorry.
That's a good impression. Wow.
What did you say, Bree?
Oh, I said I just walked in that door thinking that it was an entrance to the dorm room.
Oh right, I know. I figured they'd give you an easy way out, like. You know, but, if you didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We'll go to the next question. So, Life is Strange, the game, of course, that we're currently playing, guys, can depict, it kind of depicts social and emotional issues. You know, we've kind of covered a couple of them, but, like, you know, how do you feel about how deep the game gets into some of those emotional issues and triggers? Because I know the game has a warning before you even, I don't know if you guys noticed, before you even start playing, that it can bring up some issues that might be triggers for some people. So it kind of gives you that pre-warning before you start playing. Was there anything in the first chapter that kind of, you know, that kind of stood out to you, that kind of made you, I don't know, uncomfortable, or, you know, kind of brought up something?
Well, I thought it was, I mean, they kind of dropped at the end this, like, either rape or attempted rape of Chloe, and I'm really curious to see where they're going to go with this, because they just kind of, like, drop it, and then they're like, oh, we're not going to talk too much about this, because this is the end of the episode.
Can you refresh my memory?
So, the guy with the gun, he had drugged her, and they don't state whether he raped her at the time, or if it was just an attempt, because she got away. And that's why she was blackmailing him. And that's why he had the gun.
Nathan Prescott.
Yeah, the dick face. That's what I called
Nathan.
Him.
Now, he's the guy I took a picture of covered in paint.
Well, they also kind of mentioned that with Kate, too.
Yeah,
because, you know, Kate went into that. She went to that party and, you know, kind of hinted at that she was drugged. And kind of forced to do a few things, but
I was wondering why she was so
perky.
I don't think I got to that part. That's actually
I didn't get that part either. I just thought she was really upset about Amber, the gal who's missing.
Yeah,
about her disappearance, which seems awfully suspicious. And this isn't. Something I noticed that wasn't really stated directly was Chloe and Amber's relationship. Like, you know, they say they're friends, but some of the artwork in Chloe's room and a lot of her kind of childhood trauma makes me think that they're more than friends, which I really, really appreciate. As far as being uncomfortable, I mean, there was quite a few moments in the game that just made you kind of recoil. I mean, anything with the Prescott kid was just awful. The stepdad, the head of security with the cameras in the rooms, one of those was looking right at his bed, you know, just how uncomfortable he made Chloe, you know, and just what a jerk he was to all the students. You know, that guy, watching him for sure. Definitely did not like his character or anything that he did, period. Yeah, that was really it. I think they really established a lot of just things that, you know, immediately makes you uncomfortable. I didn't see that trigger warning. I'm playing it on the one, so I don't know if it was just on a different screen.
Oh, I know. I know it's on the computer one, but I think that it's before. But you know, it's really easy just to hit a button. You know, just
yeah. I think I clicked through
started.
It all.
Yeah.
I probably just confused it for the epilepsy warning.
That's
yeah.
what I think it is. Right. Very easy confused by that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what
It is kind of interesting, too, when you go on the Life is Strange website, how they have a page dedicated to, like, all the suicide prevention hotlines and all that type of stuff, like, in basically every single country there is.
Wow.
And it's weird to see that, and, you know, kind of almost good to see it too, because here is a game that for some people might be able to help them come to terms with,
oh, yeah.
you know, something that may have happened to them. And,
yeah.
you know, here it is, here's a site, here's all the numbers, you know, do with it what you may. And I think mm-hmm. it's kind of a, you know, when you sit and think about it, it's an interesting aspect to the game and you know, really shows that the developers do care about these issues and, you know, the situations that people may have been through in real life.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. I think it says a lot for the kind of the social justice that they're trying to kind of instill in you as you play. Because you encounter these things and you know that they're wrong. And, you know, I think generally we could all say our first instinct is to try and make them better. You know, I don't think any of us is going to go to the next chapter not wanting to fix the wrongs that have been done so far.
Right.
And yeah, to have that right on their website, what a great resource, you know. Absolutely, I think it says it speaks volumes about the company. But we know that it's Square Enix, they're good people.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I was particularly bothered by some of the domestic stuff, like with Chloe and her stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we haven't seen a lot of it manifested yet, but I mean, at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, but he hits her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like full on, like open hand smack,
like,
right?
I so. Like physically recoiled when he hit her.
Yeah.
It was weird.
I mean,
too,
I've seen
because it was like, you know, here you are sleeping over at your friend's house and, you know,
right.
their parents just start, like, beating on your friend, and it's just like,
right.
you're just sitting in a corner, like, not sure what to do.
I don't think I've ever seen, I'm sorry to interrupt, I was going to say, only a movie has ever done that to me. Never a video game.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So did anybody try and stop the stepdad at all?
That's exactly what I was going about ready to ask. I stayed hidden.
Yeah, me too. I felt it would make it worse if I'd intervened.
Yeah.
I didn't even find a hiding spot.
Oh, no!
He walked right in on me. He was like, hey, what are you doing here? I was like, looking for a hiding spot.
You didn't rewind to try and find the hiding spot?
Yeah.
I couldn't find one.
Where were you?
Yeah, you
supposed to
like
the closet,
move
the closet.
Something away from the closet
yeah.
before you get in the closet. Because yeah, I couldn't find one at first too, but I kept rewinding it because I hated every other outcome.
Yeah.
See, I didn't even think to rewind. I was like, I guess I'm
the
busted.
One game mechanic, the one thing. You had one job, Chris.
Well, it's interesting because we actually had a question on our list here that said, "How often did you rewind?" And I actually didn't, now that I'm thinking about it, I did not rewind that often. I only rewound when Max would give me the hint to rewind. When she'd be like, hey, I didn't like that. Maybe I should go back.
Yeah, I, like in the first, it ended up being a half hour of the game. Should have been the first 10 minutes because I kept rewinding like every choice. And then after I left the school, I was like, screw it. And I just stuck with most things. Like Chris said, when it was a really bad decision, I was like, all right, yeah, I should go back. But yeah, I ended up just playing that through, and I totally blamed Chloe for smoking pot. So, I was looking at the stuff afterwards, and I am in 1% of people.
Well, of course you are. No one would do that to their friend.
Whoa! She put it on me. I had nothing to do with that. That was all her, and I was not throwing myself under the bus for that. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Chloe. I know I've abandoned you for several years, but yeah, I'm gonna rat you out now.
Yeah, I intervened, and then I rewound because, Step Douche had yelled at me, and I was afraid of, like, what the consequences were at the, further on in the game. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay in the closet and stay away from this.
Yeah.
I didn't stay. I rewound. I kept on rewinding. At first, I couldn't find the hiding spot, so I rewound. I finally got into the hiding spot, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay in here. And then it said, hey, do you want to intervene? And I'm like, I didn't even know it was going to ask me that. And I was like, damn it. And so I intervened anyways. But there was a part that I didn't see in the part before. I don't know if I didn't get as far yet. But at first, when I couldn't find a hiding spot, and I said that it was my pot or something like that, she didn't show me the gun afterwards at all that she had taken.
What? Then, she can show you the gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know she took the gun.
When, yeah.
Okay.
She is a liar.
So what happens then if you don't stay in the closet and you come out of the closet and say that the pot was yours, she'll show you the gun afterwards.
Huh.
Wow.
Wow, good to know.
Yep. Then you go through a thing about the gun and stuff like that. But.
Wow. I didn't know. I thought maybe it was weird, but I was just assuming that Nathan Prescott had taken his gun and that's where he got it. So that's good to know. That, I mean, well, we kind of know that Chloe lies to her stepdad anyways, but yeah, that's cool. I had no idea.
Interesting. I mean, how do you guys think of the stepdad? I mean, I don't know. Personally, I think he's a little bit over the top, and I don't mean as a stepdad. I mean more of his role as a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
That's a lot. I've known a lot of security guards that are like that, honestly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like he would be fired, right? I mean, he's clearly, like, abusing, verbally abusing and accosting these kids on campus.
Well, I mean, I think it just speaks to how corrupt this school is. I mean, you have, like, this alcoholic principal. You have this, like, neo-Nazi security guard. Like, everybody here is awful, and I don't think anybody cares.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you have the science teacher that's standing outside the school trying to get kids to sign a petition to block the security cameras to go up.
Yeah, so everywhere.
It seems like he's... I don't want to say too much because I have played all the episodes already.
Oh yeah, no spoilers.
But I think he definitely is way too intense for the environment that he's in.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was in the service before, wasn't he?
Yeah, so, he was like a Marine or something.
I don't think anybody who's kind of seems unstable like he is should be working with kids in the first place.
Yeah,
but it makes me wonder why a lot of people who were in the service before, they become actual cops. Mm-hmm. And so that's what kind of confused me. I'm like, why is he just a security guard then? You know, it kind of makes me wonder what's going on with that, if anything.
A lot of people who are security guards didn't make it as cops. So I don't want to say a lot of people, but
there are those. Yeah, you got kind of that aspect of maybe a pride issue, too, if that's, if he couldn't make it as a police officer, and he's just a security guard. I don't mean it like that, but,
I get you, Michelle.
Yeah, I totally understand, too. But if anybody's seen Orange is the New Black, he reminds me of Cornstache.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was going to say American Beauty. Has anyone seen that film?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. The neighbor, the dad, goes in and drug tests his son and all these things. And really kind of messed up, military background stuff. So immediately that's kind of what he reminded me of, was just this over the top, something. I mean, there's something not right there, but yeah, I mean, he's obviously not afraid to take it to the next level, because he hit Chloe, and I don't believe he apologized sincerely. You know, pretty much just said it was her fault. So, yeah.
Curious to see how that relationship evolves over the next four chapters.
Mm-hmm. I swear, with some of my choices, I have a feeling I'm going to get kicked out of the academy.
Yeah, that's why I didn't intervene, because I, like, he was like, oh, you're, let's see if you can stay at the school now, and I was like, ah, I don't want to ruin this girl's life.
Did any of you guys talk or tell the principal what happened?
I did.
Yeah, I did too. And with that and the stepdad now, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh no.
Well, he's already called my mom. He called my mom. My mom texted me, you know, and said that I need to stop, or said that he said that I need to stop telling lies or telling tall tales. And I was like, oh, great.
What?
I don't think any of that happened to me. Or I just don't answer my text messages. I don't know.
Well, you just flew through the game, so.
I did. I'm going to have to take my time this time.
Just read your text messages. You'll be good.
I'll just rewind and play it again.
Yeah.
And look at every pamphlet.
Oh, yes. God.
Every single Rachel Amber poster, too.
Oh. Yeah. Every Rachel Amber poster.
Yeah, that's something else, too. Those of you who have seen or played through Don't Say Anything, but the missing person thing, I have no idea how they're going to roll that. I mean, it's got to have something to do with the plot. Somewhere along the line. Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how they even begin to implement that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like Arcadia Bay is pretty shady. So.
Yeah, it's a wicked sketchy place.
Like, and it's run of the mill for me here in New Jersey.
This is like 3 miles from Portland.
There's this part of me that sort of wonders almost, like, if this crazy security guard is actually onto something, because he's, like, saying to Kate, he's like, oh, you know what's going on. So is there actually, like, some secret cult that's, like, grabbing people off the streets? I mean, that's way out there. But, like, I mean, who knows where they're going with this? I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, and the significance of Max's dream with the whole...
Oh, yeah.
Our town being like sucked into a vortex.
Yeah, that huge tornado.
The vortex club is what the jerks are all in, and then she sees this giant vortex, and I was like,
interesting.
What?
That never even clicked.
And it was
they keep saying tornado, but it's a vortex, you guys. Come on.
and they had, you know, it was the whole end of the world party that they're planning for.
Oh, Halloween, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. I think it's going to come true. In some storyline, it may not come true in some other ones. I don't know, honestly.
That's
but
true.
I think it could be something that really, truly, that's what I would think it would come to life.
It'll be interesting to see at the end how we all panned out. So, speaking of the end, I think we're probably about out of time, and that went by insanely fast.
It did.
We got a few more minutes, but what I want to do is just kind of close out. First of all, thank you all for coming. Hope you had enjoyed the discussion.
Yeah,
I thought it went great. So, does 8 p.m. Eastern time work better for everyone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then why don't we just, Steph, you and I can finalize this after,
okay. But
why don't we just kind of plan on that, and we'll make a post about it officially and see how it goes. So why don't we plan for next Tuesday, which the 19th,
yes,
day after MLK Day, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I guess, are you, Arizona, are you guys still you guys aren't on daylight savings time right now, right?
No, we're about time, so we're still.
So it's only 5 o'clock or something. Okay, great. So yeah, what we do next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, and then what was the other thing I was gonna say? Just play through the second chapter.
Yeah, get to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what we want to do from this point forward, because this is our first meeting, so we really couldn't, like, express it. And feel free to jump in there, Steph, and say something I may have missed. But be thinking about, like, as you play now, things you want to talk about, like, within the discussion, because we'll probably have less and less talking points as we go, just because we want this to sort of be an open thing.
Right.
Not be so structured, you know? So feel free to, like, if there's something that sticks out to you, you know, when I played Chapter 1, I just had my phone in front of me and I jotted down things that I thought were interesting or that I thought would be good talking points. So feel free to do the same and we'll just kind of go at it. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steph, do you have anything to add?
No, I think it went great. You guys did great. Thank you for contributing. I'm just glad to see the little group that we had tonight.
Yeah. I mean, unless some act of God happens, should we all expect to see you next week too?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, awesome.
Yeah, so, I'll be here plus one.
So you guys, oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys don't have to, what's that, Monzo?
I was just going to say, I may or may not be here because my schedule sort of changes day to day, so.
All right, that's fine. I don't think with whoever's here now really has to RSVP moving forward with this game, at least. Because we'll, you know, we started. We'll assume you'll finish it with us. If you can't make it, you can't make it.
Right.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for recording, and if you guys really want to listen to it later,
no problem.
We'll have it up. When do you think it'll be ready to post? Tomorrow?
Might be ready even tonight.
All right, cool. All right, well, thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Nice to meet you all.
Thank you.
See ya.
Take care.
It was a second chapter.
Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Now, how do we all leave?
You hang up first.
Leave.
He says we want to leave.
All right, leave server. Bye.